Today would have been writer, poet, activist, and feminist Audre Lorde's 81st birthday. In honor of her birthday, producer Mark Unruh brings us this appreciation of Audre Lorde's life and work.
The following segment has language that some listeners may find offensive and contains references to violence and sexual assault. Listener discretion is advised. Audre Lorde described herself as a black lesbian mother, warrior, poet. Born in New York City to Caribbean parents in 1934, she wrote essays, a memoir, and poetry that continue to awe readers nearly a quarter century after her death. In honor of her birthday, I spoke to artists, poets, academics, and performers in Baltimore about Audre Lorde's impact on their lives and asked them to share some of their favorite pieces of her work. But first, here's Audre Lorde reading her own poem, Harriet, in 1987.
There was always somebody calling us crazy, or mean, or stuck up, or evil, or black, And we were nappy girls, quick as cuttlefish, scurrying for cover, trying to speak that pain in each other's mouths, until we learned on the edge of a lash or a tongue, on the edge of the other's betrayal, that respect meant keeping our distance in silence, averting our eyes from each other's face in the street, from the beautiful dark eyes and cautious familiar faces passing alone. I remember you, Harriet, before we were broken apart. We dreamed the crossed swords of warrior queens while we avoided each other's eyes. And we learned to know lonely, like the earth learns to know dead. Harriet, what name shall we call ourselves now our mother is gone?
That was Audre Lorde. Michelle Antoinette Nelson, also known as Love the Poet, is an indie spoken word artist and musician, and is the author of the book Black Marks on White Paper. She shares a selection from Sister Outsider, Lorde's book of essays and speeches.
Poetry is not a luxury, by Audre Lorde. The quality of light by which we scrutinize our lives has direct bearing upon the product which we live and upon the changes which we hope to bring about through those lives. It is within this light that we form those ideas by which we pursue our magic and make it realize. This is poetry as illumination, for it is through poetry that we give name to those ideas which are, until the poem, nameless and formless, about to be birthed, but already felt. That distillation of experience from which true poetry brings births, thought as dreams, births concepts, as feelings, birth ideas, as knowledge births understanding. As we learn to bear the intimacy of scrutiny and to flourish within it, as we learn to use the products of that scrutiny for power within our living, those fears which rule our lives and form our silences begin to lose their control over us. For each of us as women, there is a dark place within where hidden and growing our true spirit rises, beautiful and tough as chestnut stanchions against our nightmare of weakness and of impotence. These places of possibility within ourselves are dark because they are ancient and hidden. They have survived and grown strong through that darkness. Within these deep places, each one of us holds an incredible reserve of creativity and power, of unexamined and unrecorded emotion and feeling. The woman's place of power within each of us is neither white nor surface. It is dark, it is ancient, and it is deep. At this point in time, I believe that women carry within ourselves the possibility for fusion of these two approaches so necessary for survival, and we come closest to this combination in our poetry. I speak here of poetry as a revelatory distillation of experience, not the sterile wordplay that too often the white fathers distorted the word poetry to mean in order to cover a desperate wish for imagination without insight. For women, then, poetry is not a luxury. It is a vital necessity of our existence. It forms the quality of light within which we predicate our hopes and dreams toward survival and change, first made into language, then into idea, then into more tangible action. Poetry is the way we help give name to the nameless so it can be thought. The farthest horizons of our hopes and fears are cobbled by our poems, carved from the rock of experiences of our daily lives. Upon reading Sister Outsider, the Audre Lorde Essays and Speeches book, that was the speech that stuck out to me the most, especially the part where she speaks about poetry not necessarily being a revolutionary, as everyone likes to tout, but a revelatory distillation of experience for women, especially. And I mean, I feel like it's a broader statement. It is for people who are called upon to be poets. The way I've translated it in my everyday experience as a full-time artist and a poet first is that when you do reveal, especially from the place of being a black woman, a black lesbian woman, when you are revelatory, when you are unafraid, when you do not deny your responsibility to reveal what is going on in your life to save others, therein lies the revolution. So if everyone who had this gift believe the same thing, think how amazing the shift would be in the world, and how much courage it would conjure for those who can't necessarily put pen to page and speak about their experience in the way in which we do. Her ideals and her speeches, which I think have really changed a lot of people's mindset, especially women, on how we should approach the arts, have been very effective for me. I do love her poetry. I think she's amazing. But it's her essays and her speeches that really grab a hold of me. The way she comes across for me is to be very unapologetic and fearless in what you do. And if you have a purpose, stick to your purpose and speak about your purpose. A lot of arts activists do their activism just strictly through their art and not necessarily through public speaking or going and branching out into different ways of communicating. But what I've learned is that if people respect your art, then they're going to ultimately want to hear what you have to say, and not just about your art. It'll go beyond that. This kind of just showed me that you don't have to be one-dimensional or two-dimensional. You can be three- and four-dimensional if you need to be when it comes to getting your point across and your message to people.
Reverend Merrick Moyes is an ordained minister, writer, community activist, and teacher, and was one of the first African Americans ordained within the Old Catholic Movement in Baltimore. He read a poem from the book, The Black Unicorn.
From the House of Yemaya. My mother had two faces in a frying pot, where she cooked up her daughters into girls, before she fixed our dinner. My mother had two faces in a broken pot, where she hid out a perfect daughter, who was not me. I'm the sun and moon and forever hungry for her eyes. I bear two women upon my back, one dark and rich and hidden, in the ivy hungers of the other mother. Pale as a witch, yet steady and familiar, brings me bread and terror in my sleep. Her breasts are huge, exciting anchors in the midnight storm. All this has been before, in my mother's bed. Time has no sense. I have no brothers, and my sisters are cruel. Mother, I need. Mother, I need. Mother, I need your blackness now. As the August earth needed rain, I am the sun and the moon and forever hungry, the sharpened edge where day and night shall meet and not be one.
Why'd you pick that one?
It speaks to my own longing in terms of motherness. My mother passed away when I was very young, And so the whole motif around Yemaya being mother of the sea, and Audrey's august relationship to that motif, because she is mother, and she mothers most of us with her words, that really struck me, which is why I read that poem.
What kind of impact did Audrey have on your life and work?
She made me see that Black ethnicity is still valuable. She's from a Caribbean background. I'm from a Caribbean Afro-Latino background. The whole New York connection. The fact that she spoke so much about her life as Black lesbian, how she confronted racism within the women's movement, how she bravely fought her illness and was public about it and talked about it and continued to do that work. And she, to me, you know, really symbolizes warrior woman, and really speaks to just this innate desire for us to be free. And she just gives me so much life with her work. And just the value that she puts on Black life for me has really helped me appreciate my own Black life. And I think that that's important for me. I got introduced to Audrey actually as an older person. And it really kind of changed the way I thought about my Black queer trans self. And I appreciate her for that. Just that radical acceptance of self is a rarity for people of color, particularly people of African descent, and she so embodies that, and not just the radical sense of self, but that warrior radical sense of self, which is on a whole different trajectory. And you know, I hope to embody that in my work and in my ministry.
Every oppression in our history must corrupt or distort those various sources of power within the culture of the oppressed, as for instance within our culture as women, that can provide energy for change. Now, for women, this has meant the suppression of the erotic as a considered source of our power and information within our lives. We have been taught to suspect this resource. It has been vilified, abused, and devalued within Western society. On one hand, the superficially erotic has been encouraged as a sign of our inferiority. On the other hand, women have been made to suffer and to feel contemptible and suspect by virtue of its existence. So, actually, it's a very short step from there to the very false belief that it is only by the suppression of the erotic within our lives and our consciousness that women can be truly strong. But that kind of strength is illusory. It is not real, because it is fashioned within the context of a male model of power. As women, we have often come to distrust that power which rises from our deepest and non-rational knowledge, because, of course, we have been warned against it all our lives by a male world which values this depth of feeling enough to keep women around in order to exercise it in their service, but which fears this same depth too much to examine the possibilities of it within themselves. So, in this case, women are maintained at a distant and inferior position, psychically milked, much the same way that ants maintain colonies of aphids to provide a life-giving substance for the masters. But the erotic offers a well of replenishing and provocative force to any woman who does not fear its revelation, nor succumb to the belief that sensation is enough.
That was Audre Lorde reading from her essay, Uses of the Erotic. The Erotic is Power, from Sister Outsider. Abdu Ali is a musician, DJ, and arts and culture events curator. He shared a poem from Lorde's book, Between Ourselves.
Power, by Audre Lorde. The difference between poetry and rhetoric is being ready to kill yourself instead of your children. I am trapped on a desert of raw gunshot wounds and a dead child dragging his shattered black face off the edge of my sleep blood from his punctured cheeks and shoulders.
is the only liquid for miles, and my stomach churns at the image taste while my mouth splits into dry lips without loyalty or reason, thirsting for the wetness of his blood as it sinks into the whiteness of the desert where I'm lost, without imagery or magic, trying to make power of hatred and destruction, trying to heal my dying son with kisses, only the sun will bleach his bones quicker. The policeman who shot down a 10-year-old in Queens stood over the boy with his cop shoes and childish blood, and a voice said, "Die, you little mother." And there are tapes to prove that. At his trial, this policeman said in his own defense, "I didn't notice the size or nothing else, only the color." And there are tapes to prove that too. Today, that 37-year-old white man with 13 years of police forcing has been set free by 11 white men who said they were satisfied justice has been done, and one black woman who said they convinced me, meaning that had dragged her 4 feet 10 inches black woman's frame over the hot coals of 4 centuries of white male approval until she let go the first real power she ever had and lined her own womb with cement to make a graveyard for our children. I have not been able to touch the destruction within me, but unless I learn to use the difference between poetry and rhetoric, my power too will run corrupt as poisonous mold, or lie limp and useless as unconnected wire, and one day I will take my teenage plug and connect it to the nearest socket, raping an 85-year-old white woman who was somebody's mother, and as I beat her senseless and set a torch to her bed, a Greek chorus will be singing in 3/4 time. Poor thing, she never heard a soul. What beast they are. I was reading the last stanza. It just makes me really emotional. But obviously, you know, it's still relevant to this day, you know, whether it's police brutality, black oppression, or whatever. It's just still relevant. And I don't know when she wrote this poem, but I'm pretty sure it was like at least 30 years ago. And it's just sad and also fascinating how relevant this poem still is. And it's powerful. It makes you like, well, and I'm all about shit like that, you know, just like holding no regard, no mercy, flat out being raw. And that's why I like Andre Lloyd, because she don't give a fuck. And like, she gonna say what she wanna say, and she gonna do what she wanna do. Her work is really strong, courageous. Like I said before, I like that she holds no mercy. It's like a really strong, powerful tree that decides it's want to grow and grows in like the shittiest kind of like park or neighborhood or whatever. And it's just going to keep growing. It's going to get really thick and it's going to get really powerful no matter what its surroundings is given. No matter if there might not be enough nutrients in the soil for it, it's going to find a way to just stand really strong and erect and like grow and have plenty of leaves, and it's going to do it at all costs, no matter what. And it's probably going to be the most ugliest color ever, intentionally. And it's not going to give a f***, and it's just going to do its thing.
Dr. Kay Whitehead is an assistant professor of communication and affiliate assistant professor of African and African American Studies at Loyola University, Maryland. She's the author of several books, including the recently released Letters to My Black Sons, Raising Boys in a Post-Racial America, and Notes from a Colored Girl, The Civil War Pocket Diaries of Emile Francis Davis. She shares a poem from Lord's book, Our Dead Behind Us.
For the record, in memory of Eleanor Bumpers, call out the colored girls and the ones who call themselves black and the ones who hate the word nigger and the ones who are very pale. Who will count the big fleshy women, the grandmother weighing 22 stone with the rusty braids and a gapped tooth scowl, who wasn't afraid of Armageddon? The first gunshot blast tore her right arm off. The one with the butcher knife. The second blew out her heart through the back of her chest. And I am going to keep writing it down. How they carried her body out of the house. Dress torn up around the waist uncovered. Past tenants and the neighborhood children, a mountain of black women, and I am going to keep telling this if it kills me. And in might and ways, I am learning. The next day, Indira Gandhi was shot down in her garden, and I wondered what these two 67-year-old colored girls are saying to each other now, planning their return, and they weren't even sisters.
We need, as a movement encourages you or me or Yvonne to define ourselves, we deal with our similarities, and then we must deal with our differences and the differences that are not being dealt with or provided for. Now, once we deal with those differences that aren't being provided for, we do it in a context that says, hey, then we can use these differences without, we don't have to eradicate them, we don't have to, you know, wipe them out. We also don't have to remain with them. There is a total larger picture, and that's how I see it. In other words, I'm talking about the creative use of difference.
That was Audre Lorde in an interview with Jewel Gomez in 1984. Kalima Young is the director of the Baltimore Art Plus Justice Project, a project of the Office of Community Engagement at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and an instructor at the University of Maryland College Park and Towson University. She shared selections from Audre Lorde's books, The Black Unicorn and The Cancer Journals.
Sister Outsider. We were born in a poor time, never touching each other's hunger, never sharing our crust in fear. The bread became enemy. Now we raise our children to respect themselves as well as each other. Now you have made loneliness holy and useful and no longer needed. Now your light shines very brightly, but I want you to know your darkness also, rich and beyond fear. That's one of those titles that's synonymous with so much that I've read in women's studies over the years. Articles about sort of this inside-outsider status. It's been applied to so many things related to black feminist thought. So related to being a part of the feminist movement, but also feeling excluded from the feminist movement. Being a part of academia, but being excluded from academia because of her location as a black woman. And I feel like no matter what, it's still very relevant. And I find myself in those spaces all the time. And I found myself in those spaces when I was a child. I found myself in a space, the same space as an adult woman, working in academia and working in activism, where there's a shared community, but still my otherness as a black, lesbian, feminist, horror movie loving, sci-fi fan woman person is often seen as incongruous with the space. These are two passages from the Cancer Journals. November 19th, 1979. I want to write rage, but all that comes is sadness. We have been sad long enough to make this earth either weep or grow fertile. I'm an anachronism, a sport, like the bee that was never meant to fly. Science said so. I'm not supposed to exist. I carry death around in my body like a condemnation, but I do live. The bees fly. There must be some way to integrate death into living, neither ignoring it nor giving in to it. I am 46 years living today and very pleased to be alive, very glad and very happy. Fear and pain and despair do not disappear. They only become slowly less and less important. Although sometimes I still long for a simple, orderly life with a hunger sharp as that sudden vegetarian hunger for meat. Some days, if bitterness were a whetstone, I would be sharp as grief.
What kind of impact has Audre Lorde's work had on your work and your life?
She's so iconic, and her words always have resonance. And they've always had resonance for me as a black woman. They've had resonance for me on a sort of activist scale. And then sort of this, her whole entire notions about how radical self-care, that for me in the last few years of my life has been huge. I've dealt with a lot of different health issues. I've been through a huge health journey over the years. and trying to incorporate and remember what she says about, you know, taking care of self and how you can't just give it all away. You have to take time for yourself, is really important, especially to me as someone who lost her mom like 10 years ago. My mom was like 61, you know? She gave and gave and gave and gave, and she never took for self. And Black women do that all the time, and I made a commitment to not do that. And Audre Lorde's been really huge in helping me to affirm that and continue feeling that way. So many people use Audre Lorde and the work that they do. They talk about her, they use her words, they use her sentiments, but I don't feel like they really get it. And I feel like that is very much often the case with Black feminist theorists and Black activist women, that our words are used and taken by folks who respect the word but don't necessarily respect the bodies that inhabit the words. It's like when I see intersectionality being wielded and thrown around for a conversation about Black men and white women. And I'm like, where are Black women in that conversation? It's like a theory that came from our universe and our journeys. And I feel like Audre Lorde's one of those iconic activists, academic, poetic, artistic women that people feel safe using, but not really engaging with in their daily practice.
That was Kalima Young. You also heard Dr. Kay Whitehead, Abdu Ali, Reverend Merrick Moise, Michelle Antoinette Nelson, a.k.a. Love the Poet, and Audre Lorde. For The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Gunnery.